big barrel aged stout.
It doesn't have the intense roast that a stout has. Mm. To me, that's the difference. It's on the sweeter. Yeah, it's on the sweeter side.
Yeah, it is.
I think it is fair to call it a porter.
Now, what do you plums? Are you tasting lots of plums in this?
I'm not.
Yeah, same. I'm not either.
Yeah, I get initially, that Tootsie Roll chocolate.
I definitely get a little bit of raisinated kind of stuff. It's not necessarily plums.
Yeah. But not a lot of plum.
Prunes?
We'll find out in a little bit.
Yeah.
Do we know?
And may I say,
the date on this one? I'm wondering if the plums just kind of fade out quickly.
Nobody knows where the can is.
Mm-mm. No.
Oh, I found another can. I don't think.
Yeah. It actually is 16%. I believe it now.
Well, I don't think
there's a date.
I don't see anything on the bottom.
Because that fruit can be so delicate that it can fade quickly if you don't put much in it.
Especially with so much else going on in there, too.
And maybe I wasn't listening. Did it say there's actual plum in it, or are they saying there's like plum derived from?
No, I think it was plum said, derived from the.
It says an abundance of plum.
I think they were talking about the dark fruit notes that you usually get in this style of beer, and I got a little bit right at the beginning, but then I don't know, maybe as it warmed up or something, it seemed like that kind of faded out.
Yeah, I was getting more chocolate than anything.
Yeah.
It's nice, but it's like, you know, now into like sticky mode, and I'm happy that it's in a small can. I'm really happy.
Yeah.
And to be fair, and like props to them, they are filling this right to the rim. Each one of these. No, because I'm having a hard time pouring them.
We're not making a mess.
Yeah, because it's to the rim.
Yeah. I'm guessing it's difficult to run these tiny little cans through a canner.
Yeah, right? For sure.
Oh, that's probably.
Yeah, yeah, I was just thinking about that. Like, how specialized time piece of equipment. Effective is this? Yeah. But I mean, but props to them doing this, though, because
you can kind of tell like the label's kind of slapped on kind of crooked, too. So,
yeah. And it's weird because it's like the logo and some font.
Well, when we come back after the break, we can talk about the headaches of canning machines and label applicators.
Sure. Okay. So what shall we rate the double? Yeah. Three. Yeah. Okay. We are going to rate this guy a 3.
Gross.
Put a real plum in it next time.
Yeah, it's weird. There's even like a weird plum character guy on the label.
Plum frog.
It's weird.
Okay.
We'll be back in just a minute with more.
Not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Welcome back, everyone. Today is a brewery takeover, and we are talking about Hoppin' Frog Brewery from Akron, Ohio. And one thing that they are not afraid of is double-digit ABV beers. They are. So we just finished talking about the Plum Tuckered Double Porter.
Can you say that fast?
I know, right? Let's move into the Den Haag English Style Imperial Old Ale. Yes, 16.8% ABV, folks. This is the quintessential English style old ale, which is a masterpiece, with each sip being a delicious new experience. Notes of fig, molasses, and leather fill your senses, all mingling with wood, vanilla, and dried fruit. We painstakingly researched, perfected, and brewed a special batch of black treacle just for this beer. Then we aged Den Haag in a rare, sought-after bourbon barrels.
I think it's Haig.
Haig?
Maybe. I don't know.
All creating an extremely delicious and memorable character. Well, I'm sorry. It's Mr. Burns Day today, so I guess I'm kind of feeling semi-English, Scottish, or whatever. So, thoughts? Any?
I always think old ales should be a little lighter in color. This beer is teetering on black, like it's very dark.
Very.
You know, I like them to be more in that ESB color range. I think, I mean, how cool that they went and made their own molasses, basically.
Right.
That's rad. That's so fun.
That's Ohio for you.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think that the flavor notes hit old ale for me. You know, it's a big, rich, figgy. You know, it's got that kind of stone fruit background.
Yeah, it's figgy molasses for sure.
That's the same thing I was going to say. So much figgy molasses. And it's a good old ale, but I don't drink a lot of old ales just because the sweetness. I generally don't lean towards sweet beers, but it's an old ale. It's hitting all the checking all the boxes.
Yeah.
And it's a solid version of one.
This is a dead of winter by a fire kind of beer.
You know? They seem to have that dialed in pretty damn good.
I mean, well, that's just a clear MO.
They do. But what I'm enjoying about this, though, is that there are some differences. I mean, there's subtle differences. And I know style to style, there's differences, but like you're actually getting that. And considering the ABV is like blowing out my palate, I'm still noticing differences. And
I can't believe we started.
Impressive.
Yeah, I can't believe we started with the honey blonde. You know, like we should have started with their light lager. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. Like,
and their light lager is like 9%.
Yeah. I wish this was like 9 or 10% instead of 16, 17.
Yeah, I think so. I think you could really enjoy a full pour of it. You know, or not a full.
I think some more hair grew on my chest as we were sitting here, so it kind of balances out that.
So now there's one.
It'll keep you warm.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, I can't drink very much of a beer like this. 4 ounces is about all I would want.
It's true.
It's a sharing beer for sure.
In an 8 ounce can, sure.
Yeah.
But the one unique thing about it that most old ales have that this doesn't is a lot of times you bottle them, you set them aside, you get that little bit of oxidized character.
That's okay.
By being in a can, this thing is totally missing out on that.
No. Yeah.
And I thought that was supposed to be part of the stylistic
and the mystique of having that. Yeah. So
this would be better in a bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then again,
you could lick a piece of paper and then you just get like both worlds.
Chew a piece of cardboard while I drink it. Yeah, that'd do
that's
it.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Okay. But could you imagine the price point then on a bottle of this versus
A little 8 ounce can. Well, I'm sure it's probably only a $25 four pack of 8 ounce cans.
Yeah.
But I do remember when I was introduced to Hopping Frog, everything was 750 bombers.
That's exactly where they started
off. 22 ounce or 750s, yeah.
That was the world.
Right. Living that bomber life.
You're right. You're right.
There's a format that doesn't sell anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Carl, before the break, you were talking about canning. And so to can something small like this.
I mean, so the canning line that we have will run 12 ounce cans or 16s. So it won't go smaller. So you would have to imagine that they have a specific piece of equipment that does these little tiny cans. But the way the labels are applied is those, you know, it's just like Laverne and Shirley, like you've seen it on the TV show, that they just march down the little aisle on a conveyor belt and they go through. I'm making a gesture, of course, is very helpful for people who are listening.
Sure.
Where they just, the sticker gets applied and the labels, the way that happens is it may not come through straight.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you see beer cans where the label is a little jank, it doesn't look like it's completely in line. Like it's not unusual at all.
Sure.
It's actually, especially the smaller they get, the more difficult it is for them to hit.
Well, these probably move around a little bit more too.
Maybe. Yes. Yeah. Cause they're not the footprint that they take up is smaller.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So they might tip more. So it's a short of them hand applying labels, which is something that we've done once upon a time that I would not recommend. Yeah. You know, it's just, it's always going to hit different. So when you see them, it's just going to look, sometimes they'll look weird. You know, you just sort of figure that variance into your planning. And, you know, there's been plenty of times when we do it where we'll see one come through that's so janky that we'll pull the label off and send it back through. That's also a lot of times, well, things like this probably cost more. You know, you get a short fill in an 8-ounce can, and you know, that's just 8 ounces. That's garbage. And you know, the labels don't cost any less because they're smaller. So, you know, you got to be pulling labels off and reapplying them. That just increases the cost of that packaging.
And the swearing.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, certainly the swearing. Yeah.
There's that. Okay, well, it looks like we have time for a couple of bonus beers.
Wait, did we?
Oh, did we not rate it?
Did we?
Oh, okay. Okay, Jeez. Four. Sorry. All right. That's an interesting beer. Okay. Well, we do have time for some more. Sorry. It's the ABV.
I know. No. We're going to land this one.
Yeah, now we're going to talk about a Gavel Slammer Monumental Dark Ale.
Lord have mercy.
Hold your seats here. It's 17.4% ABV. God bless.
Because why not?
Yeah, sure. So, an over-the-top ale like no other, with a gavel-slamming flavor profile. Rich, aromatic, lively, and dark. Going light years over the top of Ohio's old beer alcohol limit. Gavel Slammer is brewed to celebrate Hop and Frog putting the hammer down for freedom in brewing Ohio's beer. Because our efforts on August 16th, 2016, we were presented the actual gavel used in the final Senate session that removed Ohio's alcohol limit on beer. Good for them.
That explains a lot.
Yeah. We did our little part and we're proud of this recognition and our freedom to brew a 17.4% ABV.
Just because you can do something.
Sparky, this is government at work.
All right.
You know, hats off to these guys, right? As somebody who makes their living on selling beer, like depletions matter, right? You need to sell volume in order to make money. And for an organization, a brewery, to say, you know what, we're going to specialize in brewing beers that are of this ABV weight. like, that's a lot, right? It's trying to figure out what do I have to price this at in order to make this make financial sense at the volume that I know, right? Because I can't.
And your distributor would probably say, are you out of your mind, right? Like,
right. Yeah. Well, and it's interesting. I wonder if they're doing self-distribution in Ohio. They may. They're with TCD, I think, down here, Tennessee Craft Distributing, which is a very small distributor house. Mm-hmm. So the placements for this beer in the Middle Tennessee market would be very specialized, right? It's going to end up in your craft-centric liquor stores.
Yep.
This isn't something you'd see at the grocery.
Or vape shops.
Or, of course, vape shops. I mean, that kind of went without saying, I thought. Yeah.
Okay, so for 17.4% beer, and honestly, I think of maybe two.
How many
beers
other
I've had, or three that I've had in my life?
I was
going to
say, what are your comparison points?
Utopias,
right? I mean,
I know it's big, but I didn't know it's that big from drinking it.
It doesn't taste that big.
It's really smooth. You think you're drinking 11-12% imperial?
Sure, or maybe like the 14s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of feel it, but you don't really feel it, and
which
that's
is scary.
That 17% beer snuck up on me.
Yeah.
Well, and it's the sweetness, I think, that helps cover some of that alcohol.
Because there's a lot of and it is sticky.
I think a lot of places have like a 2-drink minimum. Their tap room probably has like a 2-drink maximum.
Or are they doing shots of this? I mean, because honestly,
like communion at church, like a little half ounce pour.
Yeah. I mean, that wouldn't. Never mind.
Maybe. Yeah.
I mean, it'd be a bad idea.
I mean, it's a great question. Like, if I was going to pour something like this in our tap room, I probably would pour it in a 4-ounce glass.
Yeah.
Oh, I think you'd have to.
Yeah. I mean, because you don't want people to die.
Right.
You're looking out.
I care about it.
Well, they don't come back if they die. Yeah. So.
Right.
They do. That's,
they do.
Right. Hey, depletions, guys. Doesn't happen when you kill your customers.
No self-imposed depletions.
Oh, boy. Okay, so the Gavel Slammer. What shall we rate this?
Well, I mean, I think it's a pretty good beer.
It's
I mean,
a pretty good beer.
It's a pretty good
okay.
beer.
For what it is. Okay, we are going to rate it a 4.
Yeah.
But you need to proceed with caution when drinking this.
Maybe it's all the booze talking, but this tastes pretty good.
You know, strangely enough, I have a couple of gavels at home. Don't lock up your gavels before you start drinking this.
Don't start slamming your gavel.
Yeah, you can really hurt somebody. Be careful. Yeah. Be careful.
I like that.
Yeah, that's...
We care. Sons and Smokes, we care about
our listeners. Okay. Whoa. Now let's move... We got time for another one, so let's move into a novelty, if you will.
Is this the one for people who like Girl Scouts?
Cookies.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Girl Scout cookies. That's what
I
meant.
So this is only 9.6% ABV.
Oh.
And we're calling
so
this
it's a session popping frog.
Samoa cookie beer. So swirls of great chocolate and coconut flavor abound in this inventive beer, made with real coconut to bring you the very best of what we have to offer.
I got banana on the nose, which is weird. Okay, yeah, thank you.
Yes.
Where the hell did that come from?
I don't know. There's definitely coconut there, too.
Oh, yeah.
I hate coconut. Not the taste, the consistency.
This is a no for me, dog.
Yeah. I think I hate both.
Is this a Samoa?
The taste and the consistency.
This doesn't taste like a Samoa.
Maybe it's the... 10% less alcohol.
I'm not going to need more alcohol. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like this better if it was 20%.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm not digging it.
Yeah. Y'all stop going diet, Hoppin' Frog. Seriously, stick to your roots.
Stop brewing these NA.
If it's not double digits, don't even call.
This is their version of NA beer. And,
it's weird because coming from that 17.4 and then going down to this, this like almost tastes like water.
Yeah. This is watered down.
Yeah.
And in the spirit of honesty, like I like beers that taste like beer.
Sure.
And that's clearly not what they were going for with this. So it just doesn't sort of naturally appeal to me. I think they probably hit the mark that they were looking for. They've shown across the beers that we've sampled today that they can be very consistent and do a really good job.
You're saying you don't want Samoa of this beer?
That's pretty much what I'm saying. Some Lessa.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this Samoa... Oh. Cookie beer, we are going to rate a 2.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yes. So far, the only miss in the flight.
And that says a
it's
lot.
Been a
Which I feel like we've given ridiculously high reviews to this thing compared.
I think their beers are ridiculously good.
I'm just saying, like, that's uncharacteristic.
Well, and that's
for us
part of the reason why we saved a couple of these for the very end in case we had time.
Do you think there's any hazelnut in this next one? I'm not sure.
Well, folks. So we have time for yet another bonus beer, and this one is special. This is a
Mama.
You know what? I actually kind of like this one.
Okay,
I mean,
so this one
if you like hazelnut, I think you'll like this beer.
If you like hazelnut, you'll love
the peanut butter hazelnut caramel Coke chocolate cake stout.
They should have just called this the
Now this one is
beer.
Even less ABV than. The Girl Scout cookie one.
I love
this. 8% ABV.
I love how it's not only a 4-pack, but it also had some Ozempic attached to it, like as part of the packaging. I thought that was really
gift with purchase.
Yeah, it was kind of like really good cross marketing.
Cards are the enemy. Oh, we'll wake up. You know what I mean?
So, rich, decadent character of a gourmet cake stout. Will fill your senses with friendly, familiar flavors and aromas of yesteryear? That's what they said.
That yesteryear I had a cake fight in a bakery. Shall we never forget? You know what this... Okay, I'm sorry. There used to be this like terrible hazelnut coffee my wife used to always get from Fresh Market back in Knoxville during college. That is like all I'm getting out of this. Sorry. Also, I hate peanut butter.
Okay, so yeah, there's lots of hazelnut on the nose.
Really? I don't know about that.
You hate peanut butter?
And then like, yeah, but Jesus. That old school peanut butter oil slickness, that's there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That was my nickname in high school.
Slickness?
Peanut butter slickness.
Old school. Oh. Peanut butter slickness. Mm. Yeah.
That's a long nickname.
It's not bad. I wouldn't want a lot of it, but it's interesting.
I like it better than the other one.
It's
got all those flavors. Everything on the label is in this beer.
It's there. Yes.
Truth in advertising.
So the peanut butter, hazelnut, caramel, chocolate. Yeah. 3, 2, 1, 3. Okay. We're going to do 3 just for sake of argument. Okay. Well, you know what? This was a very interesting flight.
We got through all 8.
And I'm proud of all of us for getting through 8 beers.
I need a nap.
We drank 175% alcohol.
Yeah.
I only drank 7.
Okay. Good old boy Kendall, thanks so much for being here.
It was a pleasure.
Please tell us about your blog.
Find us at beermakes3.com. My wife and I blog about the good news of good beer.
Good old boy Carl, thanks for being here and thanks for sharing your insight.
Glad to do it.
And how can we find you on socials?
Find me on the Instagram at blackabbycarl with a C.
Cool. Good old boy Sparky, thanks for being here.
It's great to be here, and I just put the Bass Pro Shop Aquarium into my GPS, so it'd be great to talk to you guys.
Somebody's going swimming.
I mean, you're not wearing pants.
Yes, sure. We'll see you soon. Good old boy, Dave.
People have been looking at me. I'm just like, what you looking at, stranger?
This is good old gal Juliana. Keep on chuggling, and we'll catch you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor. And tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast, Sip Suds and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle, @sipsudsandsmokes. And our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
Been a 110 hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the dude in the basement studios, your host, the good old boys, will see you all next time.
This is C.